In 1877, Muybridge succeeded. Muybridge bequeathed his sequences of still photographs and his notes to the Library and Museum at Kingston-upon-Thames. There's now a permanent display there about his work. The curator of the museum is Paul Hill.
I'm going to show you into the box of lantern slides that Edward Muybridge deposited with the museum here in Kingston.
When did you do that? How long have they been here?
Since 1904.
Which is when he died?
That's right. Now, if I take the lid off the box, you'll find that there are several hundred slides inside the box. There it goes. Now then, what have we got here? This was the one that really is the earliest evidence of the controversy of unsupported transit. If I move into the light, I can show you this slide of a horse called Occident, showing very clearly that all 4 feet of this trotting horse are off the ground, and it dates from the slightly later experiments, 1877 to 79.
Well, that'll do for me. I've got it in my hands. I mean, I've seen reproductions of that picture hundreds of times. That is the nearest we can get to it. That's quite a treat to be able to hold that. Thank you very much.
And there's Muybridge's handwriting on the lantern slide.
On the lantern slide.
I would say that they are a pivotal point in photographic history.
Governor Stanford's fondness for his trotter Occident is well known, and a friend suggested that Mr. E.J. Muybridge be employed to photograph the animal while trotting. Mr. Muybridge was sent for and commissioned to execute the task. Though the artist did say he believed it to be impossible, still he would make the effort. The first experiment of opening and closing the camera on the first day left no result. The second day, with increased velocity in opening and closing, a shadow was caught. On the third day, Mr. Muybridge contrived to have 2 boards slip past each other by touching a spring, and secured a negative that shows Occident in full motion, a perfect likeness of the celebrated horse. This is considered a great triumph as a curiosity in photography, a horse's picture taken while going 38 feet in a second.
After his successful experiments for Governor Stanford, Muybridge never looked back. Working at the University of Pennsylvania, he took thousands of photographs of human beings in movement as well as animals. He toured the world, showing the results on his machine, the zoopraxiscope. I asked historian Deke Russell just how important Muybridge really is in the history of the arts and the sciences.
Muybridge is really the first photographer to take series photographs, which opened up a whole new field for both scientists and artists. Better than that, he also was the great proselytizer of this work. His career until that time, 1877, 78, 79, was one of some public notoriety through his private life, where he had found that his wife was having an affair with a Major Harry Larkins, and he went and found Mr. Larkins, called him out of a card game. Larkins stepped on the porch, and Muybridge shot him dead, which he felt was the proper thing to do for somebody that had been fooling around with your wife. In a very long and celebrated trial, he was then acquitted of murder as justifiable self-defense. He was also the great proselytizer of his method of work. Not only were the photographs themselves shocking, controversial, discussed, exciting, because this was the cutting edge of photography at its time, but it also, Muybridge then went out and told everybody about it. He lectured in Paris and in Berlin in major theaters, showing his comparative photographs of what movement actually looked like when caught by a camera. As you know, a horse represented at speed by an artist before Muybridge was kind of in a hobby horse position, 2 legs extended forward, 2 legs extended backward. Sometimes the hooves curled a little bit in the back. This was the height of speed and dynamism. It just isn't the way a horse runs at all. And Muybridge proved that. We hear a lot today about the kind of way the internet has caused an information superhighway. And Muybridge really opened up with his photographs a kind of motion superhighway. This was photography used for the first time to be able to see the unseeable, so that it could be analyzed, so that it could be examined, so that it could be understood, and then later so it could be reproduced and make moving pictures.
There are obviously lots of other people trying to do this, apart from Muybridge. It's one of the reasons that he got there first, that he had a much richer backer than anybody else.
Leland Stanford estimated that after the first 2 years of Muybridge's work that he had spent about $45,000. But here was a very famous photographer of very, very high standing. Also, the governor of California, a very wealthy man who had just bought a horse by the name of Occident, a trotting horse. And that Occident had made the fastest time ever on the west coast of the United States, quite an exceptional horse. That encouraged Stanford then to buy some more horses. He wanted to see what the gait was all about. He wanted to be able to analyze the physiology of that gait. Muybridge came up with a way of doing it, came up with a set of 12 cameras, worked out the way of putting threads across the racing track, the training track in Palo Alto, so that the horse set off the cameras automatically as it went by, and started making photographs. Now, Leland Stanford's interest was in part the idea of unsupported transit. Were all four legs of a trotting horse off the ground at the same time when it was at speed in its gait? But he actually had a whole series of more specific questions than that. Questions like, are the four hooves of a horse flat when they hit the ground and fully extended, or are they only partially extended? Does the toe of the horseshoe hit first, or the heel of the horseshoe hit the ground first, or does it hit flat? Muybridge found a way of doing this with his set of 12 cameras, put forth at Stanford's expense. And in fact, then Stanford changed the training methods for his horses, who over the next 10 years never lost a single horse race. Now understanding the gait through Muybridge's photographs, a gait which cannot be seen by the human eye.
It does seem incredible, doesn't it, that before Muybridge nobody knew how a horse moved. As a final check, I went to the National Horse Racing Museum in Newmarket. It turns out that director Hilary Bracegirdle, while certainly giving Muybridge his proper due, knows about at least one previous experimenter who wrote a book about it.
It was the results of minute observations of this amazing racehorse eclipse done by a French veterinary surgeon called Charles Vile de Sambel. And because Eclipse was such a wonderful horse who was never beaten in any of his 18 races, he minutely observed the movement and proportions of Eclipse while he was alive and then chopped him up and measured him very minutely when he died as well. He did find out some quite fascinating things which have been referred to ever since. But what has never been referred to again in any of the books subsequently is the rather fascinating work that Sambel did about the motion of Eclipse. Now, he had to do this by simply watching and listening to the beat of Eclipse's hoofs on the turf. And he has a diagram showing what he calls six complete actions of the gallop. And if I can quote from it, he says, "It's well known to all who have observed the action of the horse that the gallop consists of a repetition of bounds or leaps, more or less high and more or less extended, in proportion to the strength and lightness of the animal. At the very fast gallop, he couldn't differentiate between the two beats of the hooves because he was just doing it by observation. But he's unable, presumably, to visualise what the horse would actually look like at any snapshot in time, as was given by the Muybridge pictures. And it clearly had absolutely no effect on the way people painted horses. So they couldn't translate that into a picture of a horse at a gallop.
I was both worried and excited when you told me about that book because I thought you might be going to prove to us that Muybridge actually wasn't the first. I don't think it does that at all. What it does show us is that this very distinguished French vet worked it out intellectually, measured and worked out how to do it all. And that was a century before Muybridge, after all.
That's right.
What he couldn't do, actually, was find a way of really analysing the movement and demonstrating it. That was what Muybridge did.
I think if you look at the work of contemporary artists like George Stubbs, who were painting at exactly the same time, and look at a very naturalistic portrait of a horse, like his one of Whistlejacket, which we had on loan here from the National Gallery, and which was so moving and so realistic that people were in tears in front of it. He never saw Whistlejacket standing for hours on end in that pose, and yet he was able to imagine it. But what he never managed to do in any painting of his that I've seen is to imagine a horse at the gallop. So all his galloping horses are shown in the traditional stiff rocking horse mode. So I think Muybridge still can rest on his laurels, having done that for the world of equine art.
So, before the 1870s, there was at least one man who'd worked out how a horse ran. But no one had been able to see it before photography and Edward Muybridge. How important were Muybridge's photographs? Does the trainer Sir Mark Prescott's success depend in any way on what Muybridge revealed 120 years ago?
What those photographs did was they explained to us trainers why it is that a minor leg injury you can trot it as long as you like. That'll only get better. But as soon as you canter it, it gets infinitely worse. And nobody knew why. And when that photograph came along, they realised that when they were cantering and galloping, all four legs left the ground and landed on just one leg. So one leg was taking all the strain. And no one had understood that before. But I think the trainers knew before that they mustn't do it by bitter experience. What they didn't know was why. And of course it revolutionised the horse artist, the sporting artist. Gone were the Fernleys and the Sartoriuses. And in came the Gilbert Holidays and so on.
And yet, it is an extraordinary thing, isn't it, that before those photographs were taken, all the people who painted those pictures and all the people who looked at them thought they were natural, thought they were looking at the real thing, and yet totally impossible.
That's right. But it's only when, like you've been today and seen them canter up the hill, they move just that bit too quickly for your eye to spot it. And no one did. No one did. It's amazing how nobody experimented, wasn't it? Mm. So it was a epoch-making photograph.
Whether you use it today or not.
Yes, but we all use it. And subconsciously, of course, when we see them canter up the hill, you can't destroy the tree of knowledge. And now we know how they move. We think we can see it. But when you don't cheat, you actually can't.
So in a way, you carry that image or those images in your head all the time.
That image, every horseman carries.